Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. A quick personal note. Today is April 8th, 2015. This is the anniversary. My wife, Kelly Somm, O'Lennon, and I have been married now for 15 years. So happy anniversary to my wife, Kelly. And welcome to the show. And this week we are talking about self-esteem. And we're talking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. We started last week discussing it, and we continue it today. Good morning, Gidi.
Good morning.
Glad you're with us, and let's get right to it. We wanted to talk about last week just how you know when there's self-esteem issues, and let's just kind of recap real quickly.
Yeah, definitely. Self-esteem is realistic self-value. So it's valuing ourselves in a realistic manner. We talked about last week that if we have a deflated self-esteem, we tend to be depressed and anxious and shy and maybe have social anxiety and things like that. We can drop out of school. We can get into alcoholism, drug abuse, teenage pregnancy.
How do people get
so? Well, just saying. So there's a deflated sense of self-esteem, and then there's an inflated sense, which you really zoned in on in our last show,
right,
where a person has an exaggerated sense of his or her own value. And that can lead to all kinds of other issues and problems, including anger and hostility.
I remember we talked, the phrase I use is self-esteem, a lack of self-esteem, which is sympathetic because you feel bad for the person because they're really down on themselves. And you're like, no, you're okay. You'll build, and then the other lack of self-esteem, which is more difficult to identify because they have the opposite reaction. They're such braggers and I'm this. And that's the less sympathetic side of somebody who might lack self-esteem.
Definitely.
So how do people get poor self-esteem? Do we know what ages it starts to develop where people start to not feel good about themselves?
Well, you know, I believe that it can start in the womb. Mm-hmm. I believe that unborn children can sense emotions and sense the feelings of the mother. Mm-hmm. And so if a woman does not want her baby, I think a child can feel that. I think a child can feel unwanted during the childhood. It can be stated explicitly, or it can be hidden, but it's there. Children are devalued when they're told that their opinions don't matter, their feelings don't matter, their activities, their worldview doesn't matter. And also when children are abused, traumatized, ignored, neglected, there's so many messages the world is sending. You know, we talked on one of our shows about the sexualization of young girls. That's an area where a lot of American and Western girls, long before their teenage years, are already struggling with self-esteem. Am I pretty enough? Am I sexy enough? Mm-hmm. Do I weigh too much? You know, these are all messages that come at the individual from the family, from school, from society, from the media, and we get a warped sense of our true worth and value.
Gidi Hansen with The Growing Place. Fair enough to say, Gidi, that what you identified about how young people get their value from how they look and what they see, that's actually been taking place when I was a kid, too.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not just that I think people think, oh, this is something that's happening now because of today's media culture, but I remember, you know, boy, look at Steve McQueen. What a handsome guy. That's the ideal man.
Yeah,
or the Marlboro man. That's the ideal man. He's a studly guy. And if you look like him, then you're successful and you're the right. And same thing with women. Of course, it was different names. It was Farrah Fawcett or Raquel Welch or Suzanne Summers or in my days. But it was still the same type of thought that took place then that happens now, isn't it?
I think so, too. I just think it's escalated now.
Okay.
It's escalated way beyond anything we ever had to experience, the pressure that's on young people. And then, you know, studies have shown that low self-esteem is connected with bullying.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that. Cheating, stealing, dropping out of school, alcoholism, drug abuse, eating disorders, low academic achievement, and even going to prison. So low self-esteem affects every area of an individual's existence.
Mm-hmm.
It affects our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviors, our plans. Think of somebody with low self-esteem thinking, well, I could never go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stupid. Or I won't even apply for that job because I won't get it.
Right.
You know, they'll give it to someone else. Or I'm the best. I'm the greatest. The job belongs to me. I'm going to declare it. It's mine in Jesus' name. And then, you know what? Maybe Jesus didn't want to give you that job.
Yeah.
Now what do you do?
Well, so much of it, too, from a Christian perspective, is that your value has to come from within. And we have to remind ourselves that Jesus judges us. I don't think he cares what people go to church in, for example. I get in discussions with people all the time. Does it matter what you wear when you go to church? Does it matter what if you're in sandals or jeans? I really believe that Jesus judges you completely on what's on the inside, and the external things don't matter. And I don't know if
well, you know, I take a little more sacramental view,
mm-hmm.
which is what is on the inside will show on the outside.
Okay.
And so if the best pair of pants I have as a male to wear to church are torn jeans, mm-hmm. then I will wear my best.
Okay.
That's kind of like the attitude I have.
Mm-hmm.
But
I kind of deviated a little bit.
But you know what? It's like we have people come in shorts and sandals all the way to coats and ties, and nobody even pays attention.
Well, I guess the message we want to get to is trying to get our value, our self-esteem.
You're right. It doesn't come from our clothing.
It doesn't come from our clothing. It doesn't come from what our hair looks like. It comes from what's inside, and that's what Jesus judges us on.
Totally right.
We'll continue our discussion with Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place, on self-esteem when we come back right after this break.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. An important announcement that we want to mention coming up, the Women's Resource Clinic. It's a Wonderful Life 2015 Walk for Life. They're a pro-life organization here in Chico. The Women's Resource Clinic is located in West 2nd Avenue, 115 West 2nd Avenue. Their Walk for Life is one of their fundraisers to raise money. They provide services to women who have unexpected pregnancies. And they encourage women to take the child full term, try to keep the child, perhaps adopt it out. But it's a wonderful organization, the Women's Resource Clinic. It's a Wonderful Life Walkathon will take place on May 2nd, a Saturday, May 2nd. So it's coming up. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. For more information, just give them a call if you want to be a part of the solution to abortion. To maybe putting an end to that, at least in some form, to some degree here in Chico. Give them a call, the Women's Resource Clinic, to be a part of their Walk for Life. 897-6101, 897-6101. Hope you'll participate. I know I'm going to be out there myself. Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place is here. We're talking about self-esteem. And what's next on the list, things that we want to talk about?
We want to talk about the fact that if I devalue myself, I will probably devalue everyone else, and even including God. You know, we think of the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If we do not have a healthy Christian self-love, self-esteem, if I have not received the love of God and know what that is, I have no love to give.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't value myself, how can I value others?
Mm-hmm.
And even the scripture of St. Paul that says, esteem others above yourself, implies that you have to esteem yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't esteem yourself, you have no currency. You have no understanding. You have no reservoir You have no overflow.
There needs to be a base, and the base is for you to have self-esteem before you can provide self-esteem or help other people get more self-esteem.
Exactly. And that value comes from God in my belief system.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to talk about Christian self-esteem. And then if we have time today, also talk about self-esteem in more secular terms for those of our listeners who do not understand or agree with the Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Christian self-esteem, we need to realize how much God has valued us above all other creatures, even the holy angels. We need to understand that the incarnation imparted incredible value to humankind, that God himself should become a human being, a man in Jesus Christ, is something mind-boggling. It should create awe in us. It should make us ask the question, you know, what is it that God sees in humanity that he would sacrifice his son for? What is it that the son sees in humanity that he would come and endure the sins of the world for our sake so that we could be with the Father forever? What is it that the Holy Spirit sees in humanity that he desires to indwell us? Now, if we think we're junk, if we think we're garbage, what does that say about the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Are we saying then that the Holy Spirit, God forbid, wants to indwell rubbish? Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
That could never be. So there is an imputed and an imparted value that God gives us. And in many theologies, you know, I'm involved in getting my master's degree in Christian studies, and I'm taking systematic theology right now. In many of the theologies of Christendom, despite the fact that sin exists, humans are seen basically as good because they have retained the image and likeness of God, even though it's been twisted, it's been tainted, it's been corrupted, it hasn't been eradicated. And so God calls upon that on us and calls it out of us and says, I value you. You need to value yourself. You need to value your neighbor.
Is there scriptures? Are there things in the Bible, theologically based, that where God talks about in some, maybe even code, the importance of having a good self-esteem in yourself to be a better human being and a better Christian?
I think the best example of self-esteem is Jesus Christ, because he is all God and all man, and he walked out before us, and in the pages of the gospel and the New Testament, he is the revelation of the Father, but he's also the revelation of the Son of Man. He is the revelation of what it means to be human, of the perfect human being. And Jesus had just glorious self-esteem. Mm-hmm. He didn't need to defend himself when he was accused. If he did, it wasn't out of a need to, you know, bolster himself up or to protect himself.
Here's an interesting thing. It hit me just as you said that.
Mm-hmm.
We though are not infallible like him. You know, we're not perfect, so we make mistakes. And because we are sinners and we make mistakes, we naturally are going to have our self-esteem, I think, knocked down a little nicks in our armor because, well, gosh, I sinned. I made a mistake. I did something wrong. So naturally, our self-esteem cannot be like Jesus's. We make mistakes. We do things we shouldn't do.
Exactly. I'm not saying that we don't, but you wanted to know an example in the Bible. And so I just say Jesus is the best example of self-esteem.
Okay. We're gonna take a break. We're going to wrap things up here with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. If you like what you hear from Gidi, or you want to get some help for yourself with your self-esteem issues or maybe some other issues that you might be dealing with in your life, please give The Growing Place a call. Their number is 588-0448, 588-0448. We're going to wrap things up right after this.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place. We went to a quick computer-generated break in the last segment, and I didn't get a chance to fully explain. Gidi Hansen is... a counselor, a registered, working to become a registered therapist, just a few credits away now. Is that right?
Well, I've got my 3,000. I've got over 3,000 hours by God's grace. I just have to turn my hours in, have them approved by God's grace, and then sit down and take two horrendous tests.
And then when that's done, she'll be a licensed therapist. Right now, a licensed or a registered intern.
Yes.
And does see clients, and she handles clients on a variety of issues, not just self-esteem, but all kinds of things.
And so do our fellow counselors at The Growing Place. We have biblical counselors, life coaches, licensed therapists, and also interns.
So, I mean, if you have addictions that you're trying to deal with, if you're having marital problems, if your children are having some issues, you want some behavioral issues, this would be a good place to go. The number is 588-0448. But talking about self-esteem, and I think we want to get to the next part of what you were saying.
Yes. Well, I wanted to talk about self-preservation. Mm-hmm. Self-preservation is a healthy sign of self-esteem. People who are reckless, people who don't care what happens to them, who are suicidal or even homicidal, they don't understand the value of human life. Mm-hmm. People who think abortion is okay, they lack self-esteem. If they valued their own life,
Euthanasia.
That's
such a big topic.
Assisted suicide, all of that, the whole thing. Telling somebody because you are intellectually defective or developmentally delayed, you have no value. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing when we value ourselves in a healthy way now, not inflated, not deflated, we suddenly are able to value everyone else around us. Our families, our marriages, our society becomes a much better place to live.
What's the way when somebody comes in and you identify that, okay, there is an issue with this person's self-esteem? How do you solve it? How do you fix that person?
Well, first of all, in the intake, we decide with the client, you know, what the client's goals are for counseling. Mm-hmm. So if one of the client's goals are, you know, I want to like myself, or I want more self-confidence or something in the self-esteem department, then that opens the door. If the client is not ready to look at that yet, we don't bring it up.
Let's say the client is ready to do that. How then do you go about that? Do you go through, dissect their lives and point out the accomplishments and the good things and try to build them up that way? Like I do with my children, for example. There's somebody, one of them gets down because they struck out in a ball game at a key time. You need to try to build up their self-esteem and point out, well, you failed that time, but what about this, 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 and this? Is it the same type of process you have with your children?
There's so many different interventions.
Okay.
We did ants. Ants is one of the interventions that we can use, this automatic negative thought. Right. I always fail. I never. But basically what I try to do is what we call psychoeducation. Mm-hmm. We give psychological education to the person. And then we teach them how to walk it out. We teach them how to identify low self-esteem in their lives. We teach them how to challenge it. And we teach them how to develop that healthy self-esteem. For instance, a lot of times people come in because they feel like failures. And I think all of us at one point or another in our lives,
yes,
or maybe even chronically, have felt like a failure. It's a common human feeling. And so one of the first things I like to do in that case is separate out the person's being from the person's doing, or the essential self from the performance.
Okay.
Performances go up and down, but the person's value is constant.
Right. Okay.
So we want to focus on that and identify areas where they are devaluing themselves, identify areas where they are harming themselves, and ask them, do you really want to do this?
Uh-huh.
We teach them positive self-talk, which is so important. You know, people think, well, that's just conceited. And I go, well, most people are giving themselves negative self-talk all day long. They may call it worrying. They may even call it praying.
Right.
But it's negative self-talk. So why not create a sound, healthy, realistic, positive self-talk?
Well, there's so many things that you say that even just in my own life touches me, and I know it probably affects a lot of listeners too who do the same thing. I mean, you hit a point where I find myself praying a lot, but am I really praying, or am I just trying to talk myself into saying, I'm a good guy. Everything is good. I mean, it's just we I think we all face that to some degree. I would think it just comes down to what to degrees, and we all have these issues. But when does intervention being needed? That's always the question.
And when do you want to just be proactive and grow, not because you're in a crisis, but just because you want to grow? And then because we're a Christian counseling center, we also do what's called spiritual formation. And when people realize who God is and who they are in Christ, it changes everything.
And I agree completely. But there are you did mention, we only have just a few more minutes left, the secularist. What do you have to
do with those? The secular is all of the above minus the spiritual formation. So for a secular intervention, I would say the fact that you exist proves that you have value. The fact that I care for you. You know, because a lot of times in relationships, the client has never been in a relationship where they've actually been respected, they've been heard, they've been affirmed, they've been validated. These are all healthy ways of building self-esteem. So in the therapeutic relationship, we try to create the health that we want to see spread throughout their whole life.
And self-esteem is something that can be lost at almost any given time in your life, isn't it? I mean, it's not like once you have it, you can't lose it. There are things that can happen which could cause it to...
It can grow or shrink, just like, you know, a plant in the garden. It has to be watered. It has to be tended to. And then it'll flourish and grow and develop. And the odd thing is, Jerry... When there's real self-esteem, it opens the door for the Christian virtues. It opens the door for humility. It opens the door for faith, hope, and love.
Is ego a bad word? And when it's, well, that's the end of the show.
That's the end of the show. Okay.
But self-esteem, ego, they're not. Sometimes they kind of go hand in hand.
That's a big question that we don't have time to answer.
To talk to. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, thank you so much. Great talking to you again.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back with Gidi next Wednesday. Every Wednesday we get our counseling sessions from Gidi. 588-0448 if you want some help with maybe issues you have in your life. Thanks again for listening. Have a good day, everybody. So long.